Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Support WrestleTalk.
Donate on Patreon.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Ollie Davis. Once again, get used to it, folks, for the next 2 weeks. I am joined by Chopper Piquenel.
Well, hello there. Hi. How's it going?
Is that your thing?
No.
Hello.
Hello. Hi. I don't know what to say. I'm just saying words. I'm saying hello to you.
This is where you can make up a catchphrase. You can have a whole New Age Outlaws spiel. A whole Enzo Amore and Big Cass
that
thing that you could do.
Seems like a lot of responsibility. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I can handle that.
If you want a t-shirt, mate, you'll get some catchphrases over.
That's true. I have none right now. I'll think on it.
Yeah.
And I'll debut it tomorrow in the NXT round. No, I won't.
Have you got a good closing line this time?
No, not at all. Haven't thought about it for a second.
You just kind of panicked.
I did.
And stopped talking.
Yep. That's what I do. We're going to have more of the same today.
Wait.
Can't wait. So, we've just had a very interesting conversation in the office about... It started.
Toilet chat.
And Randy Andy Datsun came in with the line.
Well,
of
shall I get up the what happened first?
Okay, yeah.
Let me try and find this.
That
email,
would be
because I've immediately amusing. Destroyed it.
Oh no! Have you deleted it already?
No, I've got it.
Oh, we got it. Okay, good. Here we go.
So we work in a building that has many different companies in it, and we all share some facilities like dishwashers, microwaves, desks at the front of the, you know, like a receptionist area. And, of course, women's toilets.
Mm-hmm.
Not men's toilets. Men's toilets are spotless. I will and have eaten off the floor there.
You've eaten off the floor?
This is in regards...
You can't just skip over that. You've eaten off the floor?
So this was sent yesterday, and I read it to the office, just in case any of them were the culprit. Urgent. It saddens us to have to send this. Hello again. Apologies for the tone of this email, but we need to get this message across to one unknown person from within quite a big mailing list who is a regular user of the female toilets on the first floor. A lot of people, that could be.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people.
And then a picture of a toilet just crammed with toilet paper.
Yeah, like full nearly to the brim.
Yeah, it's spilling out.
Paper. Yeah, it's really bad.
Now, I can see a little bit of brown, a little bit of browny red in the bottom left.
Yep.
But we don't know what horrors lie beneath this tissue. Because it's all white tissue apart from that little smudge right there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. The email continues. Previously, this has caused the toilet to block on a number of different occasions, which has caused continued disruption to the other users. Our builder has always rectified the situation, having to dismount the basin at least twice to unblock.
At least twice.
Only to be presented with a very similar situation on further occasions. We will no longer consider this to be a careless act and will not tolerate this disrespectful behaviour going forward. You have been warned.
Whoa, that is threatening.
So, of course, I took Andy to one side.
It's the women's toilet, so of course it'll be Randy. Yeah.
Well, and then we just started speaking about why would so much tissue be in there?
Yeah.
And Andy said privately to me, well, sometimes you just want to stop the splashback.
I think that the one line that got me was he said that to you privately, and then he turned to the office as a whole, and the line he said that just cracked me up was, you know, I've got a real problem with splashback.
Yeah.
It's such a good line, and we all just died laughing because it was so weird.
And he said that he has particularly shaped excretion that compounds the splashback problem. When an Andy poo hits the water, for whatever reason in his head, that creates a worse splashback than a normal poo.
Like a tidal wave.
I could say many more things, but yeah. So we all learned something. I hope he's okay with us sharing this.
He's definitely not.
I bet he loves it.
Oh yeah.
He loves it, really.
He's getting mentioned on a podcast. There's so much exposure coming from that.
Where did you stand on mine and Luke's urinal debate?
Oh, I discussed this with Luke on a thing that I was with Luke.
What?
I think.
The upstairs toilets where it's just two urinals and
What? Remind me again, because I said that don't stand next to a person if there's a cubicle free. You go in the cubicle. If the cubicles are taken though, gotta stand next to a person. That's it.
Yeah.
That was my standing.
Two urinals, two cubicles. Mm-hmm. I'm at a urinal. Both cubicles are free. Luke comes next to me at the urinal.
Yeah, you should have gone in the cubicle first.
He should have gone.
Yes, he should have. But if both cubicles are taken, then he's got to stand next to you.
But
and that's
I,
it.
I'm with you there.
Okay, yeah, okay.
But, I mean, even in that situation, I would have just gone, just ran away. Because that would pressure me too much.
Get stage fright.
But what you're agreeing with me.
I'm half agreeing with you.
No, okay. You're not. Because the whole thing was about both cubicles being free.
Then yes, then I'm in agreement with you.
So you're with Luke on the
walking is exercise, yes.
And you're with me on the toilet debate.
And I think I'm with Luke on the civil wardrobe.
No!
If I remember correctly. So I'm saying that we should have like a standardized sizes in every shop to make it much easier to shop. Why not, right?
I think that's agreed upon. Yes. Although logistically, I still think it's difficult considering the amount of different body shapes there can be.
Absolutely.
But that to me was more fundamentally about Luke refusing to spend more than £3 on any pair of item of clothing.
I think you two are at two extremes. You spend
I'm very normal.
You spend way too much, and you expect...
I do not spend way too much.
Expectations of prices are way too high, and Luke's are way too low.
Yeah, Luke's were set when he was a kid.
and
he's basing
changed.
It off of kids' clothing when he was a kid
like
without inflation.
I was going to say, it's been like 25 years of inflation since then. But
milk doesn't cost the same. and also that he doesn't try anything on before he buys it. He's like, oh, it's a medium, it should fit me.
See, I'm terrible for that. But I know I should try it.
Exactly.
But I just don't because I can't be bothered.
Oh, okay. Andy's just joined us. We immediately told the splashback story.
Yeah. I'm sure that 90% of the listeners agree that splashback is one of the worst feelings.
Oh, yeah. I don't think anyone's in disagreement with that.
No,
it's more... That you say you suffer it particularly because of the shape of your...
Almost every time I sit down for a poo, I will get quite a cold sphincter.
Do you think that's because... anything you're doing wrong?
I think I just have incredible force.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the trajectory.
Because I'm.
Or are you standing up from a very high?
I think it's just because I'm not a stander upper. Anyone who stands up to wipe is the worst.
My lady partner does it, and it drives me insane.
But that just means she's going to wipe up her back. Anyway,
it drives me insane.
What?
I know.
Wait, I've never heard this.
Do you
as
stand
a thing.
Up?
No.
So I've literally, when I was younger, my friend was on the toilet. I didn't realize he was, and I just walked in, and he was standing there wiping. Sorry for listeners, but he was just standing up wiping his bum.
We know what standing up is. You'd have to give us a visual demonstration.
I know, I felt like I had to. I'm an actor.
Luke has gone for two episodes, and this is where the office chat's gone to.
But yeah,
we need Luke to sit awkwardly in the corner, smirking.
Yeah. I just,
and then we stop talking about this.
I just feel like I'm so competitive that I feel like I need to be good at Splashback.
So you're the best at Splashback.
Yeah. I think you missed it. Andy also said earlier that he is better than the women's national Thai goalkeeper.
She was rubbish.
Because, of course, United States beat Thailand a record-breaking 13-0 last
but
night.
But honestly, if anyone has seen the match, it was like a group of professionals against a group of small children. Mm. It wasn't a fair match.
It was a height difference.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
On the corners, like, I'm not sure Thailand would have won a header even if they'd been wearing high heels.
Do they know what a header is?
Just keep crossing it into the box, am I right?
Yeah, exactly.
Football.
Put it into the danger zone.
Put it into the net.
Square it.
The corridor of uncertainty.
Splashback, back door.
Yeah.
All the terms.
Jogging. Right. We'll save all the emails for the outro then, I guess.
Yeah, we got stuck on our own email.
We did. So let's get into the show. We're going to be discussing who will fight Aleister Black. Here's the show.
Aleister Black has been in a cupboard for about 10 weeks now since he was drafted to SmackDown in the Superstar Shake-Up.
Someone should probably check on him.
And I think I'm over it now.
Yeah. I mean, I was never super into it in the first place, just because it reeked of old Bray Wyatt stuff, and we saw where that went.
And we like the new Bray Wyatt.
Oh, yeah, the new Bray Wyatt. It's fantastic. That's why it specifically said old Bray Wyatt. And when he first debuted, I was really excited, amazing promos, and really excited, and then it went nowhere, and I was like, it's just going to be that all over again. So I stopped myself from getting excited for it. By all means, the promos are good, very well delivered, but it seems a bit rambly and a bit wordy. And now it's just dragged on past the point of even meaning anything. Like, there was parts of it when I was like, oh, this is still a really good promo, but I'm going to try and not get myself excited for it. But now I don't even have to tell myself to not get excited for it. Now I'm just like, can you just fight someone now? Like, it's gotten past that point of staleness now. Diminishing returns.
Because I don't think it's completely ineffective. Because when these started, Aleister Black would do a usual NXT-style Aleister Black promo, which is what his character down there was, very stoic and serious, and he'd deliver a promo without a great deal of inflection. And that's great if you already know the character. I mean, one of the benefits of that happening in NXT was he was silent for so long before he actually spoke. So you already had a presence. But you do have to reestablish yourself on the main roster. You can't just carry it up, unfortunately, because loads of people don't watch NXT. Like, the vast majority of people who watch main roster stuff don't watch NXT. So about 4 weeks into these promos, he actually started to shout at things. Mm-hmm. And he went a bit Heath Ledger Joker at some points, I'd even argue. Mm-hmm. And his motivation has always been, I want someone to come and fight me. Come on, someone knock on that door. I'm waiting here. And at this week's promo, he did all the same stuff. He said, open the door. And some stagehand opened the door. More light came on him. Thematically, this is pretty good stuff because he's all about fading to black. He's letting light in. All that, you know, so you've got this whole light and dark thing going on. And then he starts screaming at the door. Come on, someone, come and pick a fight. But it's been so many weeks now that it has jumped the shark, and I'm not thinking, yeah, come on, Black, let's do this, or come on, someone challenge this guy. I'm thinking, just go out to the ring, mate.
The door's right there. It's just been opened. Just walk out of it and go find someone.
Yeah, because now
just go pick a fight.
Now I don't think you're this cool, badass babyface. Now I'm starting to think, well, why are you just hanging out in this room being pretty inactive? Like, it feels like you've got no agency here.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not his fault, because this is just like, it's them not knowing what to do with him and probably not having any plans and just going in a holding pattern, just waiting until they can find something for him to do. So they've just said, cut the same promo again. Just go do that. And he's done very well with it. Like, I'd say his promo skills over this 8-10 week period, however long it's been, have improved drastically throughout it. And I think the promo style, as you mentioned, has changed as well, which has helped with that. But he's displayed a side of him that I didn't know he had, because he was very kind of stoic, serious, not much inflection. His promo skills weren't his strong point in NXT. Now I'm watching this promo, I'm like, he can cut a damn good promo. Like, that's really good stuff. It's just a shame that It doesn't mean anything now. But I really just want him to have a fight now.
Mm.
It's got to that point where I'm just like, just walk out the door, pick someone that's cool, and have a feud with them. That is just wrestle. You're on a wrestling show. Wrestle, please.
Knowing WWE, they'll hear this. Maybe it is time for Aleister Black to have a fight. R-Truth.
Yeah.
And he'll just run outside or finally walk out the door. Oh, and it's all a big setup for the undercard for chasing
24/7.
Truth. Or maybe Truth goes in there. I mean, this is quite a funny...
Here we
Truth's
go.
Truth's outside in the corridor. Come on, it's like, quick, hide in here. He opens the door, he walks in. And he's like, it's a dark room. And Aleister Black's sitting there. And he goes... Finally. hits him with the black mass. So
I can't tell whether that would be amazing or terrible, or both.
It'll be funny, but then we'll all be very deeply sad.
Yeah, that's true.
So you said about Black WWE obviously not having any plans for him, really. And you got to look at the trajectory of his call-up. Aleister Black said this week that call-up, where it was Ciampa, Gargano, Ricochet, and himself... That was a last-minute decision.
Yes.
So there were no plans for him then. And then they lumped him in a tag team with Ricochet. So like, okay, it's going to be Ricochet and Aleister Black. They're a tag team. They're in the sort of Raw tag team title mix and sometimes SmackDown too. Then WrestleMania happens.
Mm-hmm.
Then the Superstar Shake-Up happens. And they draft Black and Ricochet to the same brand.
Yep.
Those are the plans. The plans we now have are tag team plans. But they screwed up the rest of the roster because Black was now separated from Andrade. Or I can't remember which way round it was. Andrade and Charlotte were separated.
Yes.
Because Andrade and Vega were moved to Raw.
Yeah.
And WWE tend to not, these days at least, don't break up real life couples, especially not married ones.
Mm-hmm.
Aleister Black is married to Andrade's manager, Zelina Vega. So they were together, but Andrade has to move back to SmackDown to keep Charlotte happy because they're dating in real life.
Yep.
So Black has to move with them to stay with Vega. The Ricochet thing's broken up. They now have no plans. Holding pattern. Let's just make you cut some promos. And they haven't come up with anything since.
Exactly. And I think Ricochet has actually benefited from that slightly, getting a bit more singles exposure, being able to do matches with Cesaro. Now he's kind of milling around in the US title picture. That's not terrible. I don't think that's what the plans they had, but I think he's slightly benefited from splitting from Black, because before they were just kind of a tag team in a tag team division that didn't mean anything. Now at least Ricochet's having some singles matches, and he's getting some crowd reactions, and he's showing what he can do in the ring. Black has suffered massively because he's just not really been seen. At all, I'd say.
I would say Black's actually coming off better because Ricochet, to me, is already becoming Raw's Finn Balor.
That's true.
Because he's been beaten by Cesaro for no reason after being undefeated for a string of matches.
Mm.
And he's just like, you will lose to the big guys. You'll have a kind of competitive match against people your own size, but ultimately you're just there to do a few spots and you'll get beaten by Braun Strowman or Bobby Lashley or whoever. Whereas at least Aleister Black has been... kept away from any rubbish storyline booking.
That's true.
And I think Ricochet has not floundered, but he's definitely flattened out. But I do agree, and I said it at the time, Black and Ricochet, that them as a tag team is less than the sum of its parts.
Correct.
They're solo stars.
Yeah.
And that them being separated is a good thing. But yeah, Aleister Black needs to have a fight now. So who do you think, who would you put in this mix?
Well, if they didn't have a segment on this week's show with Apollo Crews, I would have said Andrade would have been a cool one to do. One, because we already know they have great chemistry from their NXT TakeOver matches. I think they'd be really great in-ring segments, which would hopefully get both of them, well, at least one of them over in terms of in-ring performances, because crowds actually like it when people wrestle well. And I think they just have a really good program together. Plus, it would make sense for Andrade to go looking after Black because he feels that he's, you know, undervalued or not utilized or something like that. And he'd be like, hey, you've been looking for a fight. I want a fight. Let's do this. And then they have like a cool feud together. Plus, you've got Zelina Vega in there, which is always a nice link.
Mm.
I think that'd be fun. That'd be my pick.
Yeah, I think Andrade is a great first shout. I'd prefer for Black to go, okay, if you're going to go with this storyline, no one's challenging me. So I'm just going to come out and squash some local enhancement talent for 8 weeks. Or maybe not that long, but for a pay-per-view cycle, and then you move on to an actual proper storyline feud with Andrade, and then you can at least build him up again in the ring. WWE tweeted a couple of days ago, though, an interesting string of people. They were like, who do you think should face Aleister Black, folks? Randy Orton, Shinsuke Nakamura.
Not quite so big name, but
forgot he
sure.
was in the company.
Yeah, me too.
Kevin Owens.
Big name.
Maybe too big a name for a first feud. Finn Balor for the Intercontinental title.
Would love that.
I'd like to see that. Lars Sullivan.
I would hate that, but...
No, but you want both guys to be strong for a while.
Exactly.
One of those people will have to lose if you put them against each other. Or Buddy Murphy.
Who hasn't been seen on SmackDown since he's been drafted there. He cut a promo in an ad break once. And that's it.
So that's weird.
Very weird.
That WWE would say that, like, oh, look at all these names. I'm Buddy Murphy.
Mm-hmm.
And like Laurie said in the office earlier, that says to me, it's going to be Buddy Murphy.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I want to see that match. That would be fantastic. But I don't want either guy to lose in their first proper full feud on SmackDown.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
It would be really damaging, I think, to have one of them lose so early if they did put them in a feud together. It would make one of them look great, but you don't want to sacrifice the other because they're both absolute top stars and you can't sacrifice either of them. So you really need to build both of them up at the same time and then have them on a collision course later on if you want to do a feud like that later on. But you need to build both of them up separately first. So I think Buddy Murphy's a poor choice for a first feud for Black.
I think either squash matches and then Andrade or Finn Balor's in the ring. Black just comes out and says, you know, I'm going to answer you because no one's answering me. Black Mass. Wins the Intercontinental title right away.
That would be amazing.
And that would be a really good thing. And Balor, you know, that those sorts of finishes kind of protect the person who lost, because if you beat someone in one move, you can just say, oh, I wasn't ready for it, I was knocked loopy, just like Goldberg Brock Lesnar from Survivor Series 2016.
Exactly, yeah. And I think I'm kind of tired of squash matches recently. There's been a lot of them, especially for people that I think don't need them. And then to have Black do squash matches as well, I think would kind of lump him in with the other kind of people who are doing those kind of matches. So I'd much prefer him to come out and do like a big victory, like a Balor or like a big name who'll come out and, you know, beat a Randy Orton first feud or something like that. I think that would be much more impactful and would make a star out of him much quicker.
You don't want to see him against Lucha House Party?
No.
Good way to build him up?
No.
Well, what about your super chats, folks?
Hey, do you want my 10 seconds of opinion on this?
Go on, then.
I think it'd be quite fun to see Zelina Vega give her husband a Spike Rana. Mm-hmm. And also, what was my other one?
We saw that on TakeOver.
I know, but again, now that they're
doesn't
married.
Doesn't count.
Now that they're married, it makes all the difference.
And also, the Buddy Murphy one just has 50-50 booking.
Yes, yeah,
for
yeah,
me.
Yeah. That's the worry.
Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Break it.
weekend.
Before we get out of here, we've got to say a very big thank you to our $25 a month or more pledgehammers on Patreon. So thank you, Ken. I'm not eligible to get a case of craft beer. De Leon.
Thank you very much, Ken. Yeah.
The chairman of the board, Jeff Hassonen.
Hey, Jeff. Whoa. Leisure Suit Larry.
That's whoa, he's so games. Leisurely. Jonathan, King of the Ring.
Whee. Yes.
Krampus Kendall Ellis.
Whee. Yeah. Whee.
There can only be one, our legend.
Whoa. Woo-hoo. Big Sexy, Jimmy Genslinger.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Better Than Bill, Dennis Hicks.
Woo. Michael Plowman, that's his name. That name again is Michael Plowman.
Whoa. Such a good name.
Join him, John Ioa. Ioa.
Yeah.
Oh,
hey.
You just got a name of vowels.
Big Bad Blake Lloyd.
Yeah. And finally, Martin Santoyo talking to me.
Hey. Nice
very
impression.
Good, very good.
Anyway, super chats is what we want, isn't it? And we start with Jobber JJ, who says, Shane took 30 minutes of the show. No Balor, Rusev, or Nakamura. Number one, he feels like a top star, and WWE is not letting their talents get to their full potential.
Yeah, we'll get on to this. We said it yesterday in the Raw review. We wanted to call it that again today.
We did.
But we wanted to go for a kind of semi-positive question, not Shane's... What did Simon say? Groundhog Shane.
Groundhog Shane was a great name. I wanted to call this episode, Why Does Everything in WWE Suck? But, you know.
Yeah, talked you off the cliff on that one.
Yeah.
Dustin Pylon says, commentary was blaming Shane for the wild card limit being exceeded 2 weeks in a row. I wonder if that was a Vince-fed line or was in the script.
Who cares? Yeah, so it was six wild cards on this show, I counted. What are the rules?
No one cares. No one cares anymore. So.
Tim Arndt says, hey Ollie, do you reckon that Alexa/Nikki storyline would be better if it turned out Alexa had multiple personality disorder? It still wouldn't be good, but if it would explain her flip-flop character.
The three faces of Alexa. No, I don't think it'll be good. I think that'd be really sort of... That's the sort of stuff that you can work in if that was always the intention, but to retroactively book that in, I think would be disastrous.
Yes, it would.
Also, it doesn't work if you're going up against, like, your second in that story is Nikki Cross, who is meant to be insane.
Who's meant to be crazy, yeah.
So it just devalues her.
Exactly, yeah. They would not do it justice, because I think that it could work as a storyline. Like you said, if they planned it in advance, it could work as a storyline for a character. Would not work for Bliss at all. And they wouldn't do that storyline justice at all.
It's basically Jesse and Festus in 2019.
Oh, God.
Nikki going crazy as soon as she has to wrestle.
Mm-hmm.
Frank DiPartolo says, could you wish my sister Adrienne a happy birthday? Yes, we can.
Happy birthday.
Merry Christmas. Adrienne!
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, I never say the thing they want me to say.
Okay.
Happy birthday, Hanukkah. Adrian.
It's a thing.
Judas Black says, didn't watch SmackDown, but I'm pretty sure Sammy got beat.
Yes, he did.
Super Gibby, thank you for your generous donation.
Thank you. Jonathan
Hedman says, hi, guys.
Hello.
Hi, Hedman, the headmaster.
Miguel 8A says, Kinshasa versus Black Mass, make it happen, Ollie.
Oh, that would be good. I mean, again, that's one of those feuds that should come... like third or fourth down the line in Black storylines. You don't want to shoot your load right out the gate. You don't want Nakamura to become the new Ziggler. Well, remember when Ziggler used to face new people to get
NXT
them over?
Guy. Yeah. The only thing with that is Nakamura would then have to appear on TV for that to happen. Can't have that.
J-Man251, thank you for your generous donation.
Thank you.
Louise Marie, one of our frequent super chatters, says, happy Australian midnight, lads. Much love from a very sleep-deprived lady who needs to wake up at 6 for work. Crying laughing face emoji.
You're in the future. That's where she is.
That's super crazy.
We can just message her before SmackDown and ask her how it was.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have to do
that. Yeah, that's
how
a good
works.
Point.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's got all the spoilers if she lives in the future.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
When does Brock cash in?
Tell us your secrets.
Go to bed also.
We'll be here in the morning. Metal Bear says, Black and Bray are honestly two of the best pieces of character work on the main roster possibly ever. I can't wait for Vince to flatten them out, though. Their first feud with Jinder Mahal.
I don't think Black has a character, really.
Not really.
Wyatt, however, is just... on another level.
It is phenomenal, isn't
it? To everything in this company. Like, to weave all the crappiness and the excellence of Bray Wyatt's character since his 2013 or 12?
12,
debut into this and make it all make sense in a very engrossing, fantastic way is just... I'm in awe of it.
Yeah. It's spectacular. I haven't seen anything like it in WWE in a long, 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 long time.
Judas Black says, did Byron justify cheating? Was that a heel turn?
Yeah, Kofi said...
He was like, yeah, it's fine.
You kicked him first.
You started it first. Yeah. It doesn't make it okay, but
we'll
sure.
We'll get on to that.
Yeah.
Ben Greenwood says, good afternoon, fellas. SmackDown was better, not good, but better. Alistair is my favourite. I pray they don't mess him up. P.S. Andy, stop burying me. Pete, you might not know, Ben submitted his double or nothing predictions about 3 hours into the show.
Ah, nice.
You can't do that. Like,
yeah, don't do that.
Four people submitted after whatever that show was this weekend.
Dominion?
Super Showdown.
A Super Showdown.
You can't do that. Yeah,
I love it when they still do badly.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
my favourite bit.
Is there like thinking, oh, I know the results, but how do I make it look like I didn't know the results?
Yeah.
So what was the question? Sorry. So Black's a favourite.
Yeah, Aleister Black's. Yeah, it was basically just a kind of SmackDown was better than Raw, but
yeah.
not massively.
Yeah, it was a low bar. Yeah.
Fergal McClement says, "Do your viewing numbers go up or down when WWE is awful?" That's quite a frequent question.
When the ratings does it follow the trend in ratings for WWE? Last year they did.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed that, and then we looked into it, and our videos would mirror how badly Raw or SmackDown have done that week. If it's down, everything's down. Yeah. However, this, since WrestleMania, we haven't been impacted by it. And usually June, May, June, July time is a lull period in the interest of wrestling, as we've found over the last 3 years I've been doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, no, maybe I think it's the AEW effect.
Yeah,
I think there's
that might have something to do with it.
Overall interest, maybe people are getting back into wrestling and are sort of seeing the WWE. Like, I think a lot of people watch our videos who no longer watch Raw and SmackDown now.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah.
JD48 Jets, thank you very much for your donation.
Thank you.
Ryan B. Bad says, new YOLO County Tag Champions. And interestingly, we thought that YOLO County was just something made up. It is a real place in Sacramento, California, with a population of just over 200,000 people in the Sacramento Valley.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was just a very outdated reference to you only live once.
No, it's a real place. Supposedly.
Wikipedia told me.
Mm-hmm.
I nearly got a tattoo on a lad's holiday
that said
YOLO here
on
my wrist.
Oh, no.
You have got a tattoo on your leg from a lad's holiday, don't you?
No, that was just a night of drinking that I did myself.
Nice. What does it say?
That's a story.
It's the chemical equation for photosynthesis.
Oh, nice. God,
you're such a nerd.
What a lad.
Lads.
Trenton Brown says, really glad you brought up the Bray Wyatt comparison. A lot of these Black promos feel like leftover scripts meant for Bray, but with his name crossed out.
Yeah.
Yes and no. I think Bray was more cryptic than Black's. I think Black has been a little bit more kind of forthright, especially as the weeks have progressed. I think he's been a little bit more forthright and just be like, hey, can someone please just fight me? That's all he's asking for now, instead of just being like, the Raven and Sister and connections and magic. He doesn't do all that stuff anymore, which is good. It's much better this way.
Jaden White says, do they have a direction for Ember? Also, hey Randy.
Hey Jaden.
I don't think... Well, I think they've got a direction for her, but at the moment that direction is straight into the ground.
Yep.
Tomo says, hello, WrestleTalk people. Can we just talk about me for like 20 minutes? It would be better than Raw.
Yeah, I think
yeah,
it would
probably
be.
Would be. Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
we can't do that though.
No,
unfortunately, we can't.
Best of AFL. Thank you very much for your donation.
Thank you.
Fergal McClement says, love Ollie's top. Is it Jean-Paul Gaultier?
No, of course, he was the guy to popularise this style of stripy top, though. No, it's Farrah.
Or as he's written, Jean-Paul
Gaultier. That's a reference.
Farrah.
It's a character from Overwatch. You guys wouldn't get it, but some people watching might.
I know video games. Overwatch.
Is it Mo Farrah?
I played Super Mario.
No. Stop doing sports, Randy.
Jonathan Hedman says, because Vince is funny, Black versus Andrade, lol. We've just discussed.
I mean,
I don't know why that.
Oh, what? Because he'll be facing his wife, oh, in,
yeah,
a way.
Yeah. Hilarious. As long as they don't actually play on that in the feud. And just be like, you're my wife. Why are you siding with this? Why are you with this man? Oh, God, it would be terrible.
Yeah.
It would be awful. Don't do that.
Jobber JJ says, Black versus Orton to make Black feel like a star.
Yeah, I think that's a good one. But I really want Randy to face Kofi. I think that's a ready-made feud there that feels big time, mm-hmm, that doesn't feel like Kofi versus Ziggler or Kofi versus Kevin Owens. As much as I love those opponents, Orton has a name value. Mm-hmm. That would really benefit Kofi as champion.
And I think as well, it would have been perfect for something like Stomping Grounds, where you've got like a 2-week build. Because the story's already there. Yeah. You can just tell it straight away and just say, hey, look, Randy Orton wants to challenge for the WWE Championship. He hates Kofi. Look at all this history. Boom, there's your story done. You don't need like a 4-week build for Orton. I think the story's ready and there and it's good to go. So it would have been perfect here, but they didn't do that.
It should have been Ziggler, though.
Should have been him.
Mm. Ollie, you're going to have to help me with his name. Blimp something.
Blimp? But what is it? Blimp? Blimp
Crocodile?
Blimp the Crocodile? Cakes?
Yeah.
Cakes.
Blimp the Crocodile Cakes?
Yeah, it's Blimp. Oh, yeah, sorry.
It's getting more and more ridiculous.
It's a different font. Blimp the Crocodile Cake says, I have not watched Raw or SmackDown for several weeks now, but I was always support WrestleTalk. I'm a big fan of all the boys, Luke, Laurie, Randy, Andy, Chopper Pete, and Oscar.
I don't know who Oscar is.
No, not a clue, mate.
But yeah, good. Thanks for getting in.
Yeah,
thanks, Blimp.
Cheers, Blimp. How many more do we want?
Let's go for two more.
Two more. The Goodie says, I stopped watching WWE and I feel better for it.
Yeah, I think that's
good.
I've got a really painful spot in my ear, and that is more enjoyable than weekly Raw.
I had one the other day.
I'm currently covered in insect bites, and those are more enjoyable than Raw.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Let us know what you think is more enjoyable than Raw.
I get bad splashback.
I was about to say that.
William Buena says, I thought Buddy Murphy was supposed to attack Aleister Black.
I don't know where you would have got that from. I don't think it's ever been teased.
It was like a tweet sometime that we might have missed. I haven't heard about any teasers for that, other than what we mentioned earlier.
Yeah. So. But if you pay attention to what goes on the Soch, Matt Riddle's debuting every week. So let's get into the full episode of SmackDown.
Let's do it.
Which opened with a bang.
Well.
Yeah, Miz comes out, first wild card. Miz comes out, he's been forced to do a Miz TV segment to celebrate Shane McMahon.
Because that's what we need. We need more celebrations of Shane. Don't get enough of those.
So this is... I get that Shane McMahon versus Roman Reigns is the feud they're building to.
Mm-hmm.
So and Drew McIntyre versus Roman Reigns is a featured match that no one really cares about at Stomping Ground in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So I get why you have to do this, but only do it on one show. The brand split's there for a reason, that you can use this time to feature Nakamura, to feature Rusev, to feature the Kabuki Warriors.
Oh my God, I forgot they existed. Oh my God.
I know. Asuka was champion before WrestleMania.
Yeah, at TLC. She beat Becky Lynch at the Royal Rumble. Oh, my God.
I remember Meltzer said when Asuka beat Becky Lynch, because Brian Alvarez was like, well, why would you do that? Why wouldn't you want Becky to just look super strong?
Mm.
And Meltzer said, well, they're obviously building up Asuka so she can have a match with Becky after WrestleMania. You've got a ready-made challenger there. I thought, that's logical, yeah.
Such a good idea. Have her beat Becky before Mania, so after Mania, Asuka just comes out and says, look, I want to fight you because I've already beaten you. It's perfect post-WrestleMania feud, and they screwed it. They screwed it so hard.
Lacey Evans.
Lacey Evans is the way to go instead. My God.
Yeah, so Miz comes out, and he does do, like, Miz is great. Hot
he
take.
Is.
Yeah. He does some funny stuff. He says, I've got the on the cue cards here, it says breast in the world.
Mm.
And then he said, oh, or does it say pest of the world? Mm-hmm. And everyone was like, ah.
That's
funny.
Like
the crowd was full of children. And they went with pest of the world, which is a shame. Because I really wanted to hear Greg Hamilton.
Breast in the world.
But he didn't. And he also had a sort of meme top of his father with the fists up. And it said, my mood.
I want to buy that.
Yeah.
If
but
I
you
can.
Wouldn't wear it. It's the sort of thing that I
totally
want to buy, but would never wear.
I'm at a job where I'm on camera talking about wrestling. I would totally wear it
cool.
to this job.
That's good. So he said he's been forced against his will to do this Miz TV segment with Shane McMahon and Drew McIntyre. Out comes Shane McMahon and Drew McIntyre.
And Elias.
Yeah. Because heels.
Like, did they just forget that Elias was part of this like little faction? Because it was just Drew and Shane on Raw. And then for this, he announced Drew and Shane, and Elias came with them. And then they didn't have a stall set up for Elias in the ring either.
Well, that would be too many wild cards on Raw. Can't have that, Pete.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they did awful. A recap of Super Showdown and Shane winning. Elias did some funny bits on the guitar. Miz then said, yeah, but what about this promo that Roman did? And they played the same kind of tepid Roman Reigns post-Super Showdown interview.
Mm-hmm.
Where was Roman this week? It's weird that he wasn't on either show.
That's his thing.
On the live results that I was doing, I was like, prediction, he'll beat Elias, then he'll be beaten down by Drew, and then Roman will come and make the save.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, oh. Okay, Roman's not going to help anyone.
No.
I just assumed he was coming out on Raw as well. Like, that must have been the first Raw in, well, since the wildcard rule was introduced.
Yeah.
That he wasn't on Raw.
And now he's not on SmackDown either, aside from this promo.
Yeah, so.
It's very strange. Maybe something's going on.
Maybe he had a week for his ethics to recover. Because he didn't want to go to he didn't want to go to Saudi Arabia in November.
But also, Roman said, let's not forget this, he's going to kick ass and take names. Let's remember that. Because if you do, don't worry, they'll tell you 17 times a show. I hate this tagline so much.
It's not the worst tagline,
it's
though,
not
is
the
it?
Worst
it
winds me up
the worst
so
worst
much. It's pretty bad.
No.
But
it's not the worst.
There's the other one.
Yeah. There is the other one.
Which is so much worse.
Which makes me actually physically quite sick and angry.
Do you want to say it? Because I could never write down the correct word.
No, I don't know what it is, but it's like WWE is the only...
The only form of sports entertainment that is totally cross-cultural across the entire globe or something like that.
Yeah.
That's what a load of bleep.
Yes. Tosh is what you call it. Tosh.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Drew did a promo. It was intense. Drew's a good promo. The crowd chanted what at him. And this turned into matches of Miz versus Elias. And he beat Elias really quickly. Elias is a nobody now,
mm-hmm.
which is a shame. He was he got that huge Seattle Heat thing late last year.
Yeah.
He was a babyface for
a
period of
that. A while.
And he was kind of over.
Yeah. And then he just got flipped back for no reason. Former 24/7 champion, Elias.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you very much.
And
also, Shane says, kicking ass and taking names. Just keeping that one out there.
So Miz beat Elias really quickly with a skull-crushing finale. Then
mm-hmm.
Drew ran in for the next match immediately after against Miz. Shrink screen ad break.
Mm-hmm.
Comes back as Miz is making his comeback. So you've never been allowed to get invested in Miz being beaten down as a viewer. So it really means nothing. And then Shane distracts on the apron. Drew Claymore for the win. Shane McMahon jumps in there. I'll take you on now, Miz. So we've got another match. Miz has a brief flurry, but Shane chokes him out in that awesome-looking triangle of his.
Looks so good.
Looks like a leg cuddle.
Mm-hmm.
He celebrates on Drew's shoulders. All of that Shane stuff was the first 26 minutes of this show. Actually, I'm not including... So that's like... Smack... I'm that... that version isn't SmackDown's 2 hours. So if you put ad breaks in, that's over the first half hour. That's like 35 minutes.
That's a quarter of the show. Over a quarter of the show.
Yeah.
Just on Shane. Granted, there are other people as part of this moving part, but Shane is featured in this entire section.
But it was all to build up Shane.
Exactly.
It's like, yeah, like Miz hasn't got a storyline right now. Mm-hmm. He was only there to build up Shane. Drew's facing Roman, which really is just a way to build up Shane as well.
Yep.
For the Shane-Roman match eventually.
Yep.
Well, rematch. And Elias isn't doing anything else either. It's all for Shane.
Yeah, exactly. Shane's the focal point.
Shane. 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 Shane.
God, it is awful. I didn't understand what this was as well, because Shane was just like, well, if you want Miz, you seem quite angry at me, I'll let you have a match with me if you beat Elias and Drew first. And I was like, okay, cool. But he lost to Drew. And then Shane was like, don't worry, we can have a match anyway. I was like, well, what's the point in the matches then if you were just going to fight Miz anyway? Why make rules if you're not going to follow through with it? It makes me so angry. And I know he's a heel and he does like backward tactics and stuff, but like, why would he then want to fight Miz? The opportunity was for Miz to earn a shot at Shane. Why would Shane then give him the opportunity to fight him when that was what was the gift?
Oh, because he was knocked out and it was just a way to beat him down and humiliate him.
Yeah,
I didn't worry about that.
I didn't like it.
What I did mind was Ember Moon backstage next in the corridor. This is a storyline that's been going on for about three weeks now, I think. Mandy Rose is on the front cover of Hers magazine.
Yep.
And sounded like the John Raffiano's character in Sopranos saying the word whores then. I didn't mean that. Whoers.
Whoers.
Is how he used to say it. Whoers.
Whoers.
But Mandy Rose was on the front cover of Hers.
Hers.
Very different publication.
Yes.
And they've been doing this thing where they're kind of bullying Ember Moon backstage.
Sort of.
Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose. And Ember's playing the Switch. Nintendo Switch.
Mm-hmm. Great
after 2 weeks after reading Jekyll and Hyde.
Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, yeah.
On this Penguin Classics book.
Yeah.
So just, this is everything that Vince probably thinks, what do nerds do?
Yeah, yeah. See, I missed, I must have been writing notes at some time. I missed she was playing a Switch. So I thought that she got handed some magazines by Mandy and Sonya, and then they hit them out of her hands. And then she got really angry about it.
Yeah.
What is happening? But then I got corrected in the office.
So they put all the magazines on her arms while she's trying to play the Switch. And then Sonya, bashes the Switch out of the hand, stamps on it, breaks the Switch. Fire and Desire then just walk away. Ember Moon, that is definitely okay to then beat them both up there.
Absolutely.
But instead, Moon waits for them to go and then goes, And
then throws a bin.
Throws a bin at a wall. I'm like, well, you look stupid now.
Do something.
You look
about
exactly
it.
Like this stereotypical nerd that they're presenting you as.
Exactly.
Because you're not confident enough to take out the pretty kids.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I thought this made Ember look so lame.
Yeah. And you just lost ranking points on Mario Kart because you couldn't finish your race. Come on. It's important stuff.
This feels like a Mario Kart trophy.
It really does.
Well, you've got Mario there.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And I always think
from Odyssey.
The Best of the Super Juniors Cup also looks like a Mario Kart trophy.
It does, doesn't it? A little bit.
Congratulations to John Cena for starring in the physics sound franchise that is Fast and Furious.
Yeah. I'm not getting on this conversation again.
What conversation? It's an agreement. It's a consensus, not a conversation.
When I was doing the timestamps yesterday, I was like, wow, there's a really big gap. Why did they talk about Alexa Bliss for so long? I was like, oh, no, wait, it's just because they were talking about Fast and Furious for about 10 minutes.
We did do that.
Yeah. Then we got YOLO, say no low. It's a Lonely Island song.
It is, but no.
It's a great song because...
It is, quite funny.
Because the idea is YOLO... You only live once.
Only live once.
So do all these things. You only live once. But their interpretation of it is, you only live once, be really careful.
Board up your windows.
Whoa. And like, there's a whole bit with Kendrick Lamar who's like, pay your taxes.
Yeah.
Invest in property.
It's quite good.
401k.
Mm-hmm.
It's very good.
Yeah.
So check that out if you haven't. But yeah, the YOLO County champions, who were just two jobbers in the ring with cardboard belts.
Actual cardboard belts, not like belts that look like they've been made out of cardboard. No, actual cardboard belts. They look naff.
Which was, this was, but I didn't mind that because they were jobbers. They were meant to look naff. But
them,
what was,
why give them championships? I don't get it.
Well, because it was just, well, the idea was Daniel Bryan and Rowan were out in the ring, SmackDown champs, saying this was going to be a title unification bout, which I thought was quite funny. But then I thought,
great.
But you've still got leather belts.
Yep.
And they've got the most recyclable belts here.
Yep.
And then that then I couldn't get over that.
Yeah.
And then, really bad from a psychology perspective. It worked out in the end, but I think this was a misstep. Could have fallen flat on the face. Brian and Rowan say that, but then heavy machinery interrupt.
Mm-hmm.
They come down. And what happens is heavy machinery, that Daniel Bryan says, well, you face the YOLO County champs. If you win, you might get a shot at us one day because you haven't won anything. What have you done to deserve a title shot?
Mm-hmm.
So now you've got this local jobber team who the crowd are always going to chant for. They've got cardboard freaking belts against your babyface team, which is just going to split the crowd.
Yep. That was a poor choice.
Luckily, Otis Dozovich, his moveset is so fun that the crowd were really into him after a couple of moves. But I just it was a weird fundamental thing to do wrong.
Yeah, it's very strange because it was just that slight moment where you just go, what? And then you just kind of get over it because you're like, Caterpillar, yeah.
Yeah.
But it was still a bit strange.
But really, I don't want the babyface team to beat up these little guys
who
are
underdogs. Team.
Especially if Heavy Machinery's whole act is we are blue collar solid,
yeah.
Whatever that means. We're part of the working people.
Yeah.
But we're just going to squash these two guys here.
It's very strange. Interestingly, one of the guys was AJ Kirsch, who does voiceover work for 2K video games.
Does he really?
The My Career mode of 2K19. He voices the character that you play. And he was in the first season of Tough Enough as well. Not the first season, sorry. The one that had favorite match was Alicia Fox and Melina. That season.
Yes.
He was in that. And also, he's done a lot of stuff with The Rock. He had like a promo competition with The Rock, and he won it or something like that. So it's nice they treat him with respect in this one because they couldn't remember his name on commentary.
Yeah,
it's nice.
It's all a rib, probably.
Yeah.
Then we got the 24/7 title bit of the night. Truth and Carmella are backstage. Truth said that the title's ruining his life, but I can't let it go, which is quite funny.
He won the title back at 49,000 feet Celsius.
Yeah, that was good.
Great line.
Which was the actual feel, the real feel in Jeddah.
Yeah.
So Carmella gets Truth to hide in a production crate, but it locks. And then someone's like, Carmella, you've got a match. So she's like, you just stay here, Truth. I'll come back for you. She leaves. And then Jinder comes along, realizes Truth is in the crate and pretends to be Carmella.
Literally, the most charisma he's ever shown in his life in this segment alone. Mm. So much more than his entire WWE Championship run.
He showed charisma when he was being racist to Nakamura.
Oh, yeah,
it was just
yeah.
the wrong kind of charisma.
Yeah, sure. This is really funny. I like this.
Yeah, it was
good. I like
this
a lot.
And then Jinder went off to find a crowbar to open the box.
And a referee.
Yeah, which took 45 minutes.
Yeah.
So
you can find some, you know, you can find a grappling hook to pull down some scaffolding inside a building, but you can't find a crowbar. Those things are like, you know,
never when you need them.
It's a gold mine if you find them
under the ring.
Of course, yeah, that's where it should have gone.
So then we had Sonya Deville versus Carmella. This was the match that Carmella had to go down to the ring for, and they've been having a little feud in and around Money in the Bank, Fire and Desire. I suppose Carmella and Ember Moon are going to team up at one point.
Probably. That might be next week, if we're lucky.
Which is a shame. Actually, that's not so much of a shame, because I really enjoyed Carmella in this match.
Really?
Yeah. I like Sonya Deville anyway. Mm-hmm. Like, I like the way she wrestles in the ring.
Yeah, me too.
But I thought that something's happened with Carmella recently, like the last month. Well, I just like the way she wrestles. I feel like she's just leveled up in my mind recently. She hit this wicked dive on Mandy
really
and Sonya outside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember seeing the dive and I was like, good dive. Didn't rate the rest of the match, but the dive was good.
I think maybe I just like Carmella in the current role.
Maybe, yeah.
So, yeah, I'm more invested in what she does in the ring.
The only other notes I've got was that Sonya hit a really cool sliding knee on Carmella. That was really nice. I liked it a lot.
And for a change, it was Mandy Rose who helped Sonya win, where she sort of interfered a bit, and that was Carmella got distracted, letting Deville get the victory. But usually it's been Sonya's kind of unrequited helping out of Mandy.
Exactly.
But that's where the good women's division stuff stopped, unfortunately. Because then we got Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross.
Was this the same promo they did on Raw?
Felt like it.
My God.
I actually thought it was a replay, but it turns out it wasn't.
Awful. It's staged exactly the same in an identical locker room. The only thing that's different is like Alexa Bliss's outfit.
Yeah.
And then she talks about Twitter or something. Like, it's such a bad promo. Like, not, and I don't think it's their fault. It's not their fault, sorry. It's the content that they're given.
Yeah.
Because this was dreadful. Talking about, like, you know, people have been saying some mean things about you, Nikki, on social media. She's like, what? Let me see. And Bliss is like, oh, don't worry. I blocked Bailey because she replied to a tweet or she liked a tweet saying mean things about Nikki Cross. Oh, how dare she? What?
Yeah, it was Natalia levels of bad promo, I thought, in that it was just really stilted. Alexa Bliss is good, but this isn't Nikki Cross's character. So it just, it all comes off as fake. And I guess that the whole point of this, which comes into the match later on, is Alexa is trying to wind up Nikki Cross against Bayley. Mm-hmm. So when Bliss takes on Bayley at Stomping Ground, Nikki Cross will snap, go into her manic mode, and help Alexa win the match.
Mm-hmm.
Problem is, Nikki's already that character. I'm going to make this insane person snap.
Yeah.
But whenever she's in the ring, that's how she wrestles anyway.
Exactly.
I just don't get why you can't have, if that was always the intention, Nikki is just recruited as Alexa's crazy second. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's fine. If you want to have Nikki be Alexa's crazy second, sure, we've seen Alexa with a second forever, but at least it's something. But then to take Nikki's character, be like, she's crazy. Just kidding, she's not crazy, but we'll make her crazy in time.
Yeah.
Like, what? It boggles the mind. I don't understand anything about this at all.
So I think they changed plans here.
Yeah.
I think they were building to an Odd Couple Women's Tag Team Championship win.
Yeah.
With Bliss and Cross's faces to take on the Iconics.
Not a bad shout.
But for whatever reason, they changed plans,
presumably
last minute, for Bliss to take on Bayley. And that has tripped up everything else. And they're like, well, why is Nikki Cross with her now? I know. Let's just do this. And they're just like chasing their own tails.
I'm curious as to whether it's got something to do with a real life situation, because I believe Andrade's mother passed away. So Andrade and Charlotte have been given time off to grieve and have time away from the company. So I wonder if it was supposed to be Charlotte that was facing Bayley and like a rematch from Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
And then they just said, well, Charlotte's not here. We need to have someone else. So they just sent over Alexa Bliss, which is a terrible thing to do if that's a last minute replacement, because you have an entire SmackDown women's roster to choose from. But
and the moon's tied up with Fire and Desire.
Of course. Yeah. Everyone's so busy. So I'm just curious if that's maybe played into it and why they've kind of just had gone, different plans. Out of nowhere.
I don't know. I was under the impression that Andrade's mother died after the match was made.
Oh, really? So, okay.
I don't know.
I wasn't sure. I'm not sure at the time frame.
The news came out, I think it was PW Insider, and you reported it yesterday, so I don't know when the match was made.
The match was made last Tuesday, if not before.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I think Andrade's mum died between now and then.
Okay. So. Well, never mind me then.
Yeah. So then we got Big E returning. Which was really nice.
It was great to
see all the New Day back together.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's a good promo.
It was a great promo because they just have fun and it feels authentic. There were some great lines in this. Big E said, if I got a title every time I came back from injury, I'd tie with Charlotte Flair by now.
Ba-dum-tsh. Great joke.
Yeah. And that ties back to an old joke that he made like 2 years ago during the Charlotte-Sasha feud where they just traded it back and forth. That he apparently got in trouble for. So that was funny. Kofi said to that, oh, you made a booking joke.
Yeah.
And like Big E was like, what? And he said, because you're booking a flight to Charlotte. And it was stupid. And really, like, I didn't find it kayfabe puncturing at all for whatever reason.
Funny.
I got a kick out of it.
And then Woods just started singing Mulan. as you do.
Yeah.
Let's get down to business. And then he also made a joke about E3, which is completely true, by the way, because he literally finished SmackDown and flew straight back to E3 because that's his thing. Speaking of E3, if you want coverage of E3, you can check out our gaming and movie channel, Screen Stalker, which is covering E3 all this week.
Oh, yeah.
Today's video is going to be talking about the Nintendo Direct that was yesterday when they revealed a Breath of the Wild sequel, which I'm very, very excited about. So me and Laurie talk about that today, which you can check out on Screen Stalker later today. Anyway.
So then Dolph Ziggler came out.
Here's the calm down.
Yeah, and he cut a good promo, but I'm just not into it. Like, I can see this is all good stuff, but I'm over Dolph, unfortunately.
It's the same promo every week as well. Yeah. It's literally the same promo, but they just added in the slight difference in that it should have been me because Xavier interfered at Super Showdown. And then the thing is with this one, he didn't even introduce a video package. He just finished his line and the video package started playing as if it was a script.
Mm.
Who could have foreseen that one?
Yeah.
That really annoyed me, but he showed a video package of Xavier Woods kicking him in the face, leading into the Trouble in Paradise, leading to his loss at Super Showdown. And he's saying, I should have won. I would have won if it wasn't for Woods getting involved.
Totally valid.
Totally valid. Like, not necessarily saying that he would have won if Woods hadn't got involved, but he's part of the reason why he lost. And then Kofi just says, you started it. Like, you kicked him first. What do you expect him to do? Not retaliate? Yes, because he's not in the match.
Mm-hmm.
You get DQ'd if you interfere. Of course you'd expect him to not interfere back. Didn't make sense to me.
Yeah. I don't know what Kofi could have said to this. I've been trying to work out if there was a babyface way to respond to that without putting Xavier in it.
Yeah.
And I don't think there is.
No.
So just don't book that finish.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You could just have... I get that you want to set up a rematch, but there's got to be another way to do it without having your top babyface champion, who you've protected so well, have essentially a heel finish. Because yeah. Sami Zayn came out after this to point out, look, if Dolph won with me kicking Kofi in the face, you'd all be up in arms right now. So then that's a valid point.
He's absolutely 100% correct about it as well.
And I like it when heels have justifications.
Absolutely.
But I don't like it when the baby faces have no justification.
Exactly.
Like they should both be justified, but the heels should do it for some sort of insane, arrogant reason,
yeah.
Whereas the baby faces are more nobler. So yeah, this really didn't work for me, unfortunately.
And guess what, Ollie? Kofi's going to kick ass and take names. This annoys me so much.
What annoyed me more is that Sami Zayn comes out really for no reason.
Yeah.
And then Kevin, I guess they're booked in the match later on, but then Kevin Owens just walks out as well, who, again, looked on autopilot.
Yeah.
He looks mentally checked out right
now. He really is, yeah.
Like, all the stuff looks good in the ring, like a good scent on later on the outside, but he just looks like, yeah, he doesn't look like he's trying.
No. He's really like, it seems like he doesn't have any passion for it anymore, which is shockingly similar to other stories that we've heard and other things we've seen with like John Moxley, with like EC3, with the comparison on Twitter that did the rounds yesterday, with his comparisons of his entrances between TakeOver and main event. His passion's completely gone. And from people that have, you know, contacted Chris Jericho to say, I want to do my podcast about the creative process and why it sucks and why it drains all people's mental capacity after I've left WWE. This all links in, and it's quite worrying if that's happened to, you know, such a top star like Kevin Owens. That's not great for WWE and not great for the fans.
No. And it's just like having Sammy and Kevin Owens just randomly coming out and paired with Ziggler or paired with Corbin. It cements them in my head as just mid-card fodder.
Yeah.
Mid-card backup, when they could be so much more than that.
Exactly, yeah.
It's really badly presented.
I also didn't really get the point of this promo, because it was quite a long promo section. And I know you want to have Big E's big return, and that's fine. But it was a long promo to set up a match that had already been announced at the top of the show that was going to be the main event. So why didn't you have the promo directly before the match, or have the promo at the start of the night to build up to announce the main event? I don't get why they announced the main event, then had the promo, like, two matches before the end, and then had the main event segment. I would have think it would have been a bigger reaction for Big E if it had been the main event, and that's when Big E had come out and been like, did all the Sacramento and all that stuff, the big entrance. And then they had a brief promo, not as long as this one, and then they just straight had a match.
Yeah, like, don't announce the match in advance. Just promote Big E returning. I think that's a big enough draw.
Exactly.
And then you have an angle where the heels beat down Big E to set up your six-man tag.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah,
that,
I agree.
I think, would have made so much more sense. But
Bayley versus Nikki Cross was set up next, and then they cut backstage to the Aleister Black promo and then back into the arena where Bliss was at ringside. Most of this happened in an ad break. And Bayley easily won.
Yep.
With
Very
an elbow
easily
drop.
Won with an elbow drop. Greatest elbow drop in professional wrestling.
It doesn't even look like it connects. That's what really gets me about it. She just quite clearly elbows the ground next to Nikki.
Mm. Oh, well.
Then we got Jinder, finally with a crowbar and a referee, but now he doesn't know which box it is because all the boxes with R-Truth in have been moved, and then Carmella can't find him either.
Mm-hmm.
And some producer or stagehand guy says, oh, these are all getting shipped to LA for Raw.
So Truth is going to be stuck in a shipping crate for 6 days.
He's going to do a David Blaine.
He could die in 6 days. And Mahal was just like, yeah, it's fine. Let's go to Raw.
Yeah.
It's not worth someone dying for.
Easy to pin
Come
a corpse.
Yeah, that's true, I guess.
And then we got Firefly Funhouse, which was the same as the one on Raw.
Yep.
But Todd Phillips had a spectacular segue.
He did, didn't he?
So
this is great.
He says, and no one ever acknowledges what the hell is going on with Firefly Funhouse.
Nope.
They'll promote it all throughout the night, and then Michael Cole will go, what was
that?
The thing you've been promoting. But Todd this time said, look, there's Bray with his friends there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he did just bash one of their heads in, Phillips.
Yeah.
He said, but Kofi won't have his friends in a steel cage.
Oh.
I was just like,
it's great.
Segways are hard to control. And he has leaned forward and gone into a wall. I got a kick out of that.
It's great.
Apollo Crews is backstage. Kayla Braxton is interviewing him about the Andrade match, where Andrade just beat him up last week. And then Braxton just Thanoses away and turns into Zelina Vega.
I know, what a transformation.
Yeah.
She used that magic trick more often.
And Vega effectively says, don't annoy Andrade, or I'll teach you.
I'll get you.
And then Apollo turns round, and there's Chad Gable just writing notes.
Do you want to know how much this didn't make sense? I didn't even notice it happened. It was that quick. He turned round, Chad Gable was there. And then you heard one of the comments, he goes, why is Chad Gable making notes? End of segment.
Yeah. It was like, three, four seconds of Gable.
It was to remind you that he exists for his debut on 205 Live.
Of course. Yeah, that's totally what it is.
Which was meant to be a surprise.
Yeah.
It was a surprise.
Yeah.
Yeah. So why would you have him on SmackDown?
I guess foreshadow. I don't know.
I don't know.
It was. Yeah,
was
he's
he
got
taking
short
notes
hair.
Off? Was he taking notes of? Cruz didn't say anything back to Vega, did he? I don't think he did.
Well, it could have been funny. And I like Chad Gable. And it's kind of fits in with his goofy shtick he used to do in NXT.
That's fine.
I was excited by that. But then I found out he went to 205 Live afterwards. I was like, I thought this was going to be something on a proper show.
Yeah. Unfortunate. I don't get what he's making notes of. Of Vega talking to Cruz?
Just scouting, isn't he?
Sure.
Scouting.
Yep.
Scouting competition. Super SmackDown recap next with the Mansoor win. Super SmackDown. Super Letdown recap with the Mansoor win. It's the only form of sports entertainment that's cross-cultural in the world. And then we got New Day versus Owens, Zayn and Ziggler for a 10-minute match. It was a well-structured match in that, like, Kofi took the heat, then got the hot tag. Xavier had a nice hot tag, then took the heat. Build up to the Big E hot tag, which was what everyone was waiting for after his injury. And but you know what? It was a fun match and it was well structured. But the New Day versus Dolph Ziggler, Kevin Owens, and Sami Zayn, I love all those guys. But if you're tuning in after 6 months out, you're like, why is a mid card feud main event in this show?
Yep.
Phil SmackDown is really lacking in star power.
Really is. And like, it's such a shame because Kofi has been made one of the biggest stars, I'd say, of the company. From his push from right before WrestleMania up until now, he's been protected really, really well. But there's something still that isn't connecting with, like, I don't look at Kofi and go, top star. It's still now, even after that big push that he's had, there's still something in me. It's probably like the 10 years I've watched him where he hasn't been a main event guy, which is unfortunate because that's not really his fault. But that combined with the New Day, who were a mid-card tag team act, or sorry, a top tag team act, which is mid-card.
Yeah.
And then you see Dolph Ziggler, mid-card act, and you see Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, who have been feuding with occasionally top guys like Shane McMahon and Daniel Bryan, but mostly more mid-card stuff. You're going to be so lost with this.
Yeah.
This doesn't feel like a main event caliber feud at all.
I think Kofi, after WrestleMania, should have then gone in a feud with Randy Orton.
Yeah.
Then feud with, I don't know, just big name guys to help him get over. Not Dolph Ziggler.
No.
It is damaging. Anyway, Kofi hit the Trouble in Paradise on Zayn for the win. Zayn jobbed out again. Kofi is being very much protected, but I still feel like he's protected and he's booked really strong, but he needs to be booked strong against guys who have a more mainstream name appeal.
Absolutely.
I'd probably give this a 2 out of 5.
That's what I gave it at SmackDown. Yeah. I said it was an average show. Wasn't much redeemable from it, but at least the main event was somewhat fun. So you left with like a, well, that was all right, I guess. Mm. At the end of the show, which is always a way to do it. Too much Shane, and no stories felt like they progressed at all.
Yeah, yeah.
Are there any stories? There's feuds. I can't tell you any stories that are happening, though. So, SmackDowner.
Let's have our super chat.
Yeah, we'll start with things that are better than watching WWE. We've got five of them.
Here we go.
One, taking a dump, which is, I think is better than most things.
That's actually a wonderful sensation.
Thing, yeah.
Two, a testicular hernia, which apparently this guy has.
It's a bold shout, that one.
A kick in the balls.
A lot of ball based stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
A paper cut between the toes.
Oh no!
That's a Jimmy Havoc spot, I'm
sure.
Yeah.
Waiting to happen that one.
And finally, walking on glass.
Yeah. So all super fun activities.
After Steve Austin always had to do that.
Five good reviews. Neil T starts our super chats though with, so Chad Gable is on 205 Live now.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he is.
And he won. And he won by countout.
He hasn't
Jack
been confirmed as on it. He just was on it.
Well, it was weird because the Twitter video that sorry to steal your gimmick real quick. The Twitter video that Drake Maverick put up on Twitter. I know. I'm the opposite side, Randall. I can't do it that way. The Twitter video they put up said he was going to get a decisive challenger for Tony Nese, and he's going to bring a surprise to make up for it. So were those two things separate or together? Did he bring Chad Gable to be the challenger for Tony Nese, or did he get a challenger for Tony Nese and bring Chad Gable?
I think they're separate
as well.
I'd have to watch 205 Live to confirm.
Exactly.
What I will say is that the 205 Live main event got really over with the crowd. Mm, like they were really, really cheering for it.
Yeah. That's good.
Caleb Maldonado. Well, they got a roster of 12 now, so they're getting a bit ahead of themselves.
I know.
Caleb Maldonado says, heard ENC podcast with Sean Spears last night, and he said there was a point in WWE where he prayed that people would just react. Wonder if that's EC3 now.
So I guess not talking about himself then. Was he talking about other people's matches with regard
to
that?
I think just react to him, kind of reaction.
Ten. I mean, people did react to him.
I know, but like, it was one of those kind of like Pavlov's dog. They're like, oh, Ty Dillinger, 10, 10, 10.
Yeah, 10, 10, 10.
Oh my God, a Ty Dillinger match.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Harley Meek says, Ollie is dreamy.
Thank you, Harley.
Not wrong.
We need to tell people that your name is spelled O-L-I.
Oh, was it oil again?
No, it's Ollie with like the classic. Yeah,
I'm not precious.
No,
it's
and also, how are there still people who've never seen Pete before? He's been here for several months, and people are like, who's that guy? It's like he hasn't changed.
Look different.
Well, to be fair, we were just saying if you hadn't watched WWE for 6 months, you'd be lost in this feud. If you've been tuned out of WrestleTalk videos for a while, and then you come back and see this dude who's not Luke
and me
talking to Ollie, Yeah, be a bit weird. Right. Also, we're live streaming, which is different.
Ralph Marion says, I did see that Black and Orton had a match during a house show. Maybe that could be a possible feud.
Black and Orton, was it?
Yeah, that would be a good out of nowhere versus, you know, the RKO versus the Black Mass as a sort of battle of the knockout finishers.
Out of nowhere offs.
Yeah.
One second, just refreshing. Tyson Hoyt says, double thumbs up. That's what Tyson Hoyt says.
Thank you, Tyson.
That's quadruple thumbs up.
Louise Marie says, he's thwarted by Bailey Sting. Sorry, Ollie. I don't know who he's thwarted.
Probably Aleister Black, it's the title.
Did you see that Bailey was wearing black and white?
Oh, my gosh. I got a tweet. Probably you did as well, but you don't check Twitter. Of someone saying, Bailey's got black and white gear on. It's first step for Bailey Sting.
Yeah.
Jonathan Edmund says, I've got good news for you, Ollie. The last few years of WWE has all been a bad dream. You're about to wake up in Talking Smack Universe.
Oh, that would be nice.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Weren't those good times?
Those were the best
times. Renee Young is in the lead to host this new Fox Sports 1 program.
Oh, really? That's cool.
Flufall12 says, do you guys want to see Liv Morgan? To be honest, just anyone.
I forgot she existed as well. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I mean...
Sarah Logan.
Well, the Riot Squad. It. Yeah, like, a lot of people love Liv Morgan. And I'm not crazy for Liv Morgan, but I love Sarah Logan.
Yeah.
And she got really over in the WrestleMania Women's Battle Royal. So,
she did.
Yeah, I'd like to see Sarah Logan more. Mm-hmm. Is Ruby Riot injured?
She was. I don't know if she still is.
J-Man251 says, Ollie, please yell, not now, coachman. Thanks, love the channel.
Oh, I've got a bit of a sore throat.
Here we go.
Not now, coachman!
That was amazing. Thank you.
I found him on... Someone tweeted me. Do check Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
That he's got a Cameo account. So he does record messages for $25.
We've been tweeted by Lance Storm.
About what?
I wrote a piece. So
here we go.
Lance Storm tweeted...
Who have you annoyed now?
Yeah. Lance Storm tweeted to say... WWE just needs to unify these damn belts and make the champions the wild card. So I just said, my headline was something I think it was Lance Storm like tells WWE to unify these damn belts or urges WWE to unify these damn belts. And he tweeted, talk about yourselves.
What was the last controversial thing?
It was Ryback. Ryback was the last one.
Andy just builds feuds.
I know.
So I tweeted that, and he says, I didn't urge anybody, jackass. I just made a tweet. Try making your own news without me. Maybe follow up with Lance Storm urges WrestleTalk to pee off.
Well.
It must be frustrating having some of your tweets picked up and made a thing of. But that is verbatim what he said.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And I wasn't mean about him. I was actually quite nice about it.
Yeah, we all love Lance Storm.
Yeah, he's great. Great.
Nothing wrong. Anyway, Dixon's asking if we can do a piece... doing
about
exactly that. next up is Sean Turner, which I think is actually quite a good idea. Sean Turner says,
What was the idea?
Because he says, why don't you do a follow-up piece saying Lance Storm tells WrestleTalk to piss off? So we were like, okay.
We should totally do that.
Okay, I'll tell that Dixon has got your go-ahead. Sean Turner says, last super chat I had... Because of money problems. Hope I come back. No more Bailey Sting. Let her live forever while I'm gone. Can we get 10 hours of Omni Shane with a hidden fart?
Just one in 10 hours. You have to search for it.
I really grimaced the facial expressions yesterday.
Oh, it was something else, that.
That was the person who came up with Bailey Sting.
That is. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Is, well, thank you. You know, in your absence, yeah. I'm going to put a stop to it.
We'll miss you, Sean.
Yeah.
Kano Max says, my English exam was yesterday, and the subject was women's right in Saudi Arabia. Thanks to the WWE guys, thanks to WWE and you guys, I know everything I even talked about WWE.
Lacey Evans.
Hmm.
Yeah,
it was women's rights about Lacey Evans the whole time.
misunderstood the question.
Sean Turner already lying that he said he didn't do no more super chats because he's done another one. I didn't watch WWE this week. Just you guys, I can't.
Yeah, we've had a lot of correspondence like that the last
common
couple
opinion.
Of weeks.
Ty Davis says, "Are Pete's fan called pedophiles?"
No,
No.
JFJ, thank you for your donation. Apothecus says, I'm taking a break from WWE. They cancelled the SmackDown Monday house show in Coachella. I had tickets to. I will still watch WrestleTalk. They've been cancelling a lot of Monday night house shows because of the wild card, which
doesn't
is
surprise me.
Pretty bad.
Yeah.
I don't know how long they're going to get away with that for. Because it doesn't seem like they're giving
just adding the thing
much
to
notice.
Either.
You know, you mentioned about having wild cards on this show. Not once did they mention the wild card rule in the entirety of the show. The brand split is dead, essentially.
Yeah.
Like they're now just phasing out the wild card to just be like, well, people can just show up.
Yeah.
So the brand split's gone.
Yeah,
it's bad. It's a shame because the people who go to the house shows, like, the, you know, that's a big deal for families.
Yeah,
and,
it is.
You know, kids would are really wanting to go and see WWE live, and yeah, it sucks.
Yeah.
Metal 00 Khan says, Monday I watched good TV. Tuesday I finished my fence out back. No Raw, no SmackDown Live, just your reviews the next days. Life is better this way.
That's what we aim to achieve here.
Yes. We watch Raw, so you don't have to.
Yeah, yes. We're basically a nostalgia critic now, I guess.
Bobby McBride says, morning from Kansas, guys. Wrestle Talk forever.
Hey, ooh. Morning, Bobby. Bobby?
Yes,
Kansas?
Bobby. William Buena says, I will clarify, Buddy Murphy and Aleister Black were having a house show events. Ollie is still the best in the world. F. Shane.
Yeah, they've been wrestling house shows for quite a while. Mm-hmm. This loop, and then they fought back in 2017, I think. So they'll definitely have chemistry, but they're both new guys. You don't want to beat either of them on the outset.
Yeah.
Just a two-ball guy says, it's getting hard to even watch the YouTube highlights. If it wasn't for you guys, I would have no idea what's going on. Also, Fyter Fest is going to be free.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Fyter Fest.
I mean, it's now going to be free without a Chris Jericho in it.
Well, he was never booked.
Well, yeah, but he said that he's now not going to do the thing.
It's all.
I think it'll work.
Yeah, I know.
Joey the Merc says, how happy are we that Gargano wasn't the 205?
Oh, my God, yes.
Oh, that was good. But then they just punched me still in the dick with Chad Gable.
Yeah,
and
I know.
Damn it.
Woke up this morning and went on Twitter and saw Chad Gable was on 205 Live. I was like, yes, no.
Mixed feelings.
Yeah.
Sean Martinez says, I'll be traveling to England for 3 weeks in a few days. Can I buy the boys at WrestleTalk a beer or two and do a meet and greet? Who do I email if this is possible?
Oh, I don't know.
That's a good question. I mean,
who's our social sec?
Luke. he's away.
Email Pete at WrestleTalk.com. Yes.
Oh, you guys suck.
Because he is Luke for now.
Yeah. Okay.
And if you don't get a response, then that's Pete's fault.
Yeah.
Mackenzie DaCosta says, Rambling Rabbit going to tear apart on Talk is Jericho. Going to appear on Talk is Jericho and explode Firefly Funhouse.
Yeah. But it's the podcast we all want to hear.
Yeah, absolutely.
Punk, Moxley, Rabbit.
Ant the Great says, do stables hurt or benefit the product? Make your perfect stable. I will do Balor, Styles, Good Brothers, Pete Dunne, all of heels.
Well, you just added Pete Dunne to the Bullet
Club.
Yeah,
it's Bullet Club plus Dunne.
No, stables are great, but stables then fantastic. Would you call the mid-card Vortexes stables? Because that's not a good stable. That's just a random assortment of heels. I think the Undisputed Era are a fantastic stable. Obviously, yep. The Shield.
Mm-hmm.
Welcoming Committee. PCB,
one of
course,
the best ones, Welcoming Committee.
Team Bad.
A stable right now, I'd call up Chris Hero. Sorry.
Cassius Ohno.
Sorry, I can never...
Thank
I
you very much.
It's never stuck with my head.
And Dolph Ziggler, just because they love putting everyone over.
Yeah.
Chris Hero, Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens.
That'd be great.
Oh,
I like that.
BPM 2000 says, Lance Storm has urged you to piss off. Yeah,
thank you.
We love you, Lance.
Lance, he's
Timothy
great.
Jones says, I do not deserve this one. Maybe the Ryback one was even slightly justified, but this one not. Timothy Jones says, need more Ali. Where is Ali? Ali, I need answers. A heel Roman versus Ali feud, in
Ali?
My opinion, would be a huge draw if properly pushed, or even Ali versus Shane.
Yeah, Ali's one of those guys that you can put in there and I think he'll get over because he's just such a natural baby face.
He is.
Gargano's the same. I just want to cheer that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And you can put him with feuds against top guys, have him put in great efforts and lose. I think he comes off the better for it.
Absolutely, yep.
I wish they would do that.
Yep. We need lots of people that aren't being featured, Ali being one of them.
How many more we got, Andy?
a good dozen.
Let's rattle through
yes.
them.
Quick. Kano Mack says exactly the same thing from earlier. That was the women's rights in Saudi Arabia, mm-hmm. the exam nice. Question. So I hope your exam went well. Fergal McClement says the Alexis thing, Twitter thing, is a dig at Sasha liking tweets burying WWE.
Maybe, or it's just, I think it's playing off Bayley blocking her in real life.
Yeah.
Timothy Jones says, the Intercontinental Championship has lost so much value over the past couple of months. How does WWE fix this? How do they fix Finn?
Yeah, and the US title. Just have them on screen more.
Yeah.
And give them a feud. It's not hard.
Yeah, exactly.
Just cut the Shane McMahon stuff.
Like the Finn-Andrade match at Super Showdown was probably one of the better matches on the card because they gave him a bit
of
time.
It was the best match on the card.
Yeah.
And also, Finn turned up without a belt and then they gave it to him halfway and they were like, you forgot your belt. Jared Jones says, watching live for the first time. Sounds great, guys. Hi, Jared.
Hi, Jared. Thanks Jared. Very much.
Tim Arndt, thank you for your donation. Jobba JJ says, Tim. Pete, 24/7 is worth dying for.
Is it?
But, well, R-Truth loves it that much.
And Jinder Mahal to just accept the fact that R-Truth will die so he can win the title. Yeah, yeah, sure.
Late predictor Ben Greenwood says, there's so many to choose from, but if you could choose to release five people for their own good, who would you choose? For me, it's Owen, Zayn, Finn, Joe, Nakamura.
Five people for what?
To release for just because...
To release, to make them better.
To make them better.
To free them from WWE.
Yeah, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, Cesaro, Nakamura. No, Nakamura I think's given up regardless.
Yeah.
Chad Gable.
Mm-hmm.
Finn.
And maybe
Asuka.
Finn. Oh yeah,
Asuka's a good shout.
Yeah.
I mean, I did an entire video on this last week, so I should probably be able to remember some names, but currently my brain is blank.
Do a Moxley.
Yeah.
Kevin says, remember when we used to say that Raw was bad, but at least SmackDown would save our weekly WWE experience? Thanks, WWE.
Well, it's the same show now.
Yep.
The wild card has merged them.
It's the Raw replay.
Tucker Ida Crow, which is a wonderful name,
that's
says
great.
Nothing, but thank you very much for your donation.
Thank
Rocky
you.
Balboa says, hey, Ollie, Pete, and Randy. Ollie spelt wrong.
Hello.
Tim Arndt says, KO. Seems mentally checked out. If he's already lost interest, how long will it take before other wrestlers to suffer the same fate?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Yeah, you can sort of see it. Yeah, EC3. I don't. I think that the wise thing to do is just keep your head down, do your job very well, and then don't renew because they'll add on your contract.
You could say, do a Moxley.
Yeah,
yeah. Do
I
that.
Mean, Good Brothers, they run out in August or something like that.
Later this year, yeah.
Adam Pearson says, I've decided I think Chopper is cool. He can stay. Which is funny because he met you a few weeks ago and clearly
he
that
did.
Wasn't enough.
No, he met me in person and was like, still not sold. But now, I've got the thumbs up. I've got the seal
Adam
of approval.
Pearson's my best friend. So
you
can, Tomo, speaking of which, says, Pete, did you know that Stomping Grounds will kick ass and take names?
No, I had no idea.
Yeah.
They didn't tell me enough.
Amazing. Anton God. H says, I miss the work rate days of the 2018 SmackDown Live.
Yeah, me too.
Workhorses. Yeah. Cool
All
stuff.
All those new days.
9217 says, the guy next to me farted. I don't know why that's funny. I just wasn't expecting that as a message.
Fantastic.
Craig Brown says, Randy Super Chat merch confirmed. Timothy Jones says, if EC3 takes MJF's gimmick, does it hurt WWE or AEW more? Assuming that a lot of fans don't know who MJF is, it should make a fresh take for EC3.
I don't think you can take MJF's gimmick. That's very much his own unique thing. EC3 can do EC3, which is very kind of similar, but they are different.
You might have got excited when Xavier Woods mentioned E3 on SmackDown this week. Oh, what? Oh.
Yeah.
Neil T says, new counter, please. How many flips does Owens give?
Oh,
very
God.
Few at the moment.
Yeah, no. Probably -2. So.
Three more then. So we've got your casual fan. Thank you very much for your two generous donations.
Thank you.
Sean Dunn says, who is going to be fake Bailey Sting while Sean Sherman's gone?
The actual Sting is fake Bailey Sting.
That's true.
Yeah.
And lastly, and fittingly, it's Jobber JJ says, I watch Raw, SmackDown Live, especially you guys, torture and fun. I don't know what torture is.
Well, I'm assuming Raw and SmackDown.
Watch the WWE stuff is torture.
Watching us is fun.
It was just a unique spelling of torture, that was all. Mm. It looks like a different word.
Well,
right.
Thank you very much for all your super chats.
Mm, thank you.
If you're in the London area this Friday as well, I said it before, come along to Stratford. to watch Will Ospreay's frontline wrestling promotion. We're all going to be there. Our boy, Callum Newman, mm-hmm. who we gave the WrestleTalk scholarship to, he's going to be wrestling against Nathan Cruz. There's also a mouth-watering bout between Mark Haskins and David Starr, and plenty of other stuff on the show. So yeah, go and buy tickets for that, and you can meet us there.
I was going to do a run-in on the Callum match and punch Nathan Cruz.
I'm not punching anyone.
So, I've got an email from Luke Chador, who
it's
says...
It's a great name.
It is a
One
fantastic
of our very
name.
Frequent emailers as well.
He says, hello to Oliver Twist, Lucas from Super Smash Ultimate, Peter Griffin, and not... I don't know if I can say that. Not candy person.
candy ass?
It begins with an SH, so...
Oh, okay.
But it rhymes with Datsun, so it's like, it's...
Whoa.
Yes. What no love for Blake Ham?
Apparently, no. No love for... Oh. Well, this was sent a while ago.
Okay.
Say, yeah.
This was forwarded from Luke, so... he says, I got one heck of an 80% fact for you. The 80% fact segment is dying. That's his 80% fact.
Ooh.
And he says, I propose a new segment, What the Flip Facts? A segment where podswefters like myself will email in WTF facts. I don't think that's I think that's gimmick infringement.
Yeah, I don't know if we can say that. WTF.
Yeah.
Maybe we could do something along the lines of you say a fact and then I just go, what just happened?
Wow.
What just happened?
That's also gimmick infringement.
No. I think I'm going to give some ups to some of those and then I'll give some downs to some other facts.
Why?
Because
here's
you're
why, I guess.
Because you're a smart bottom.
Bottom,
yes,
ding. Yeah.
Smart bottom. And he provided an example. He said, I'll start. There's a species of bee called the vulture bee. Instead of eating nectar from flowers, it eats scraps of meat from animal carcasses, and it makes honey with this. And then in capitals, meat honey. What the flip? From
wow.
your favourite pod swafting luchador, Luke Chador.
Did you know
luchador.
That cat urine glows in a black light?
Really?
I did not know that. That sounds like an 80% fact.
I'm pretty sure it's true.
Cats, great
do you
for raves.
Do you have a cat? Great
yes.
for raves.
I often just shine black light on cat urine as well.
Absolutely, of course you do.
You have the flat of a sociopathic murderer.
It's a cat wee everywhere.
Yeah.
Splash back all over the floor.
Right, I'm trying to find another good one. There's one, we've got some designs for Randy Andy Datsun merch that
Always
someone
great
has
for
sent
an audio
in.
Format.
Mm.
Yeah, I'll probably just show you them afterwards.
I've seen them.
You've seen them?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I will
Don't
not
you worry.
Oh, apparently I've lost all my internet connection and all the emails that I had with it.
That is a spectacular
so
fail, Pete.
That's fun.
have we got any 80% facts quickly from ourselves?
Like, literally, it's just that I've just lost my internet
connection.
Have
you enabled cookies?
Sure. No, I've literally actually just lost my internet connection on my laptop. So, that's fun. So, splashback, am I right?
I miss Luke.
I miss Luke too.
Luke has hard copies.
I know.
He prints them out.
I always thought.
He doesn't.
I was like, it's so weird how Luke puts his emails into a document so he could read them out later. And I was, now I know why, in case this happens.
Mm.
God, this is awful.
This would never happen.
I am
though.
So sorry to everyone involved with this.
8% fact. Or all humans have, as what just like they've got their unique fingerprints, they've got unique tongue prints as well.
Really?
Mm. Wow.
That yeah. is an 80% fact.
Tongue prints?
Yeah.
That we are struggling.
Oh, God,
my
internet's gone as well.
Oh, mine too.
It's the actual internet. It's not
damn.
Just me. It's not just
oh,
me.
No.
I've
oh,
not
wow.
just screwed this up.
Do you think this was the toilet scenario?
It's the toilet
Do you think
scenario.
Someone's crapped that toilet so bad it's broken the internet?
Trying. Mine's connected to the wrong
to
one.
To a
mine,
different Wi-Fi. Mine's just not connected to any.
I've,
and now I've tried to connect back to my normal internet, and now I have to enter the password again, which I don't know.
This is
and
amazing.
And this is
going to
be
content.
Fun because I've got my notes for SmackDown on my laptop, which I need an internet connection to view.
Oh,
so this is going to be really fun for the Ramble if we can't get it back.
Well, who knew that so much of this relied on the internet?
I can't even connect to internet.
If the internet's not on, we can't even stream.
Are we hard connected?
This is connected.
Is it still connected?
But does that still have internet?
Yeah, open up an internet browser. This is now no longer this a podcast. This is a crisis
this
center.
This is just us trying to fix things.
Andy's going to type on a keyboard that's turned parallel to him.
Talented.
I'm going to go Gmail.
Yeah.
Do it.
Gmail works.
It works. Okay, so the computer
we can still
is still
stream.
Fine.
Yeah,
the computer so the hard is still connection.
Fine. But I can't do Super Chat.
No.
Oh, crap.
And I can't check my notes on SmackDown either.
I might be able to do Super Chats from my phone.
What we should do is we should wrap up the podcast.
And see if we can fix it.
I know we said, folks, yesterday that we'll...
We do a longer outro.
Yeah, but...
But now we don't have internet to check any of the emails.
Now we're going live in 10 minutes with no internet. So, Pete...
This has been great.
Take us home.
Oh, God, I need to say things. I haven't thought about this again.
Those weren't on the internet notes too, were they?
Yes, I will say that those are on internet notes that I now can't see, even though they're totally not. Well, this has been the WrestleRama podcast for SmackDown.
Laurie's just messaged to say they've lost internet as
they've
well.
Lost internet as well.
Oh,
fantastic.
No. Dear God.
It's an spreading. Office-wide problem. But anyway, thanks for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow for the NXT Ramble, when it will be me and Laurie talking about NXT.
And internet.
Hopefully with internet. Yeah, that would be great. Love you all. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.